Good morning, everybody. This is Lizzie and Justin, as usual, on Sunday morning with a source from Justin today. This is our Third Space podcast slash Facebook live broadcast called Turning Towards Life. And every Sunday we gather with you, with each other, to enter into this unrehearsed live conversation about whatever the source is. So you are very welcome here, and we are really, really happy, as always, to be in this conversation over our weekend and to have been reflecting on the source as well in the meantime. Every Friday, Justin or I post the source, and then on the Sunday morning, we are in conversation about it. So you are very welcome to be in this conversation with us, to make comments, to leave any reviews for us, tell us how this is for you to be in this with us. And you can message us through Facebook if you want, or Instagram. And we're just completely overjoyed that you're here and that we're in this together with so many people around the world now. It's a really wonderful thing. So we're going to begin with our source and see where this takes us.
Yeah, thank you, Lizzie. And good morning, everyone. I've got this lovely feeling that spring is here this morning. I woke up very early and it was light. And what a joy it is to be feel the world opening and feel the I'm feeling the turning of this project, Lizzie, into another phase as the seasons move and as we've been doing this for a long time. It's quite easy for me to look back and think, oh, everything we've done. But I'm feeling very curious this morning about what will open and what will open from this source, which is something I've been sitting with for a while. And just as a reminder to everyone, if you want to read along with us or read afterwards, we have a lovely website, which is about to become even lovelier, at turningtowards.life, which has, if you're listening back later, all of the sources on and all of the videos. And we always publish our source on Facebook in our Facebook group, which you're very welcome to be with us in. So this is from a book with a very grand and frightening sounding title called Comparative Theories of Non-Duality by Milton Scarborough. And it's one of these books that has this very portentous title and is filled with such gems all the way through. And this was just a wonderful part of it. So I'll read it first as usual. It's called Learning to See. To learn to see, then, is not simply to trigger a pre-established circuitry, but to acquire a new use of one's own body. It is to enrich and recast the body image. Put differently and more dramatically, to learn to see or to hear or speak or feel is to become a new self, a self that includes, as the previous self did not, perceiving, speaking, or feeling. This new self emerges at the instigation of other selves already possessing the requisite dimensions of human existence. Just as there are no teachers without students, no husbands without wives, no parents without children, so there are no human selves without human others. For the same reasons, there is no unchanging independent self. Self and other are non-dual. It's as true to say that relationship creates both self and other as to say that self and other enter into and create a relationship.
To learn to see, then, is not simply to trigger a pre-established circuitry, but to acquire a new use of one's own body. It is to enrich and recast the body image. But differently and more dramatically, to learn to see, to hear, or speak, or feel is to become a new self, a self that includes, as the previous self did not, perceiving, speaking, or feeling. This new self emerges at the instigation of other selves already possessing the requisite dimensions of human existence. This new self emerges at the instigation of other selves already possessing the requisite dimensions of human existence. Just as there are no teachers without students, no husbands without wives, no parents without children, So there are no human selves without human others. For the same reasons, there is no unchanging independent self. Self and other are non-dual. It is as true to say that relationship creates both self and other as to say that self and other enter into and create a relationship.
Oh, there's so much in here, and I know that this source is rather unlike some of the more poetic sources that we have, which I could hear as you were reading, Lizzie, how much I have to pay attention to. But the thing that, I'll tell you why I brought this, it's in both parts, because he talks about what it is to learn to see or to hear or to feel something new that we couldn't see or feel or hear before. But the place that I want to start with it is at the end of it, which is, oh no, I have to get the words in front of me again now. That our new selves emerge because of other selves who already have the something that is here for us to learn in some way. There's no unchanging independent self. It's true to say that relationship creates both self and other, as to say that self and other enter into and create a relationship. Okay, so this is the thing. So I think it's easiest to see with child development, but then the bit I'm most interested in is what happens with us once we're more fully into our lives, which is clearly we're super shaped by who we're around as we grow. Seems to me there's no doubt about that. I think that's easy for most of us to get. That whoever brings us up and whoever, you know, whoever our peers are and all of the circumstances we have in those very formative stages really shape the kind of person we get to be.
Mm.
And if that wasn't the case, we wouldn't care about parenting and friendship and, you know, all of those kind of things.
Mm.
But that's going on all the time.
Mm.
That there's a way in which I get to be who I am in my life as a whole, and very specifically in this conversation because of who you are. That's the bit.
Yeah.
And that's really true about this conversation. So I learn to see, feel, hear in a very different way, Lizzie, because I'm in conversation with you. That would be different again if there were somebody else sitting in the seat that you're sitting in. And it's more than just I'm having a reaction to you or I'm thinking about what you've said. That's sort of like the part of it. I also know that there's a way in which my life changes because I'm in relation with you. And that's the thing, I think, that although you probably have to use quite precise language in the way that Milton Scarborough is doing to try and get right into the sort of the nub of this, which is that we're making one another all the time. And that really goes squarely against a lot of how we've come to think of ourselves. I think we easily think of ourselves as independent units, and I've got my brain and there's things going on inside my brain, and we get very interested in scanning people's brains to find out what's going on inside them. As if we had some kind of independent identity, but I'm different because of you. There's absolutely no doubt in my that you know, I've known you for a long time, Lizzie, but in this particular conversation, this practice that we have of talking with one another every week, week in, week out, I'm being made by it. My guess is you're being made by it too. And so this is a reminder, what these words remind me of, first of all, is that, and that opens up a deep kind of wonder and possibility, but also a deep kind of responsibility for one another. Because if you're being made in some way by me, then how I am and who I am really matters. Who I am with you really matters. I can't just be careless about how I am with you if I know that my way really shapes you, really affects you. So there's one part of it that really comes to me. And the other part is it's a reminder to me then that we are bearers of gifts for one another all the time.
Mm.
That how we all learn to open our eyes to what's here, to hear what we couldn't hear before, to be sensitive to what we couldn't be sensitive to before. We don't do it on our own. And I think Milton Scarborough wrote these words a long time ago, but in a world of social media, for example, what I write and what I say and the places where my life impacts other people really will affect other lives. That's the big deal here, is we are really deeply shaped by one another.
God, I'm feeling such joy listening to what you're saying. The word that comes to me is comfort, that this kind of connectedness is so, that this is what we are. And so the first paragraph in here, and I haven't read this book, so I don't know, but it seems to me to be saying as well that up to now, we may not have been seeing or perceiving or speaking or feeling yet. Like, there's a kind of, if we are to learn to truly do those things in the capacity that we're born with and oriented towards, then this understanding of the nature of being is really important. And this living out of the notions that you've just been speaking of is the thing that enables us to perceive, speak, feel in all the glory that is possible. So if I'm really to see the nature of yours and my connectedness has to be part of my understanding and living of what it is to be human. So what does it mean to see and perceive and feel out of this place that I can feel now as you're speaking, which is that you're shaping me and I'm shaping you, and everyone in my life is shaping me and I'm shaping them. And who knows, like, how far that goes. And so what emerges for me in the experience of hearing you and reflecting is this unaloneness. It's like undoing of a feeling of independence, like you were saying, an undoing of my sense of independence, which I can correlate with. So when I experience my independence and my separateness, what comes with that is worry, anxiety, terror, catastrophizing, feeling like there's something wrong with me, with others. So I can feel all the associated things with my independence and my separation. And then when I come into this realm with you, and when you were speaking, it was happening to me, I begin to feel like I'm alive. I'm tingling with connectedness. I'm not alone. I'm not doing any of this alone. I'm shaped. I'm shaping. I'm feeling like a powerful being rather than a small, separate, terrified, worried person. And so this kind of, so the image that came to me was like I was held. Like every way I sway, there's something that meets me, rather than just rattling around in some box and I'm going to hit the side at some point. But there's some soft and beautiful, meaningful, threaded together heldness, where if I turned one way, I would meet this. And if I turned another, I would meet that. And of course, inherent in what I'm saying is some separation, because my language isn't non-dual right now. But I can feel the gift of the connectedness and the not being separate that comes out of this language. And it's funny, all this, like all the kind of serious language does this thing for me. And I count this as part of it. And I find it with Heidegger and like all of the philosophers and everything. So I get kind of shot into a different kind of reality because it's kind of a structural language. Like it restructures me somehow in the moment. And I think that's the power of this kind of language, is that it can open and move me from this pre-established circuitry into this recasting of my body image into something different. And then in that experience, it's like, oh my goodness, this being human is way more interesting than I just previously thought, like 5 seconds ago. And so the gift of practicing as well with this language and hearing it and reading it and reflecting in it and allowing myself to be undone in the circuitry feels like such a gift.
Well, there you go. See, there's Milton Scarborough doing with us the very thing that he's writing about, which is that because really appreciating what you're saying about the language here, because he wrote it in the way that could express his way of seeing and his way of being in the world, something else opens up for us if we're willing to let ourselves open to his way and not go, oh, Milton, couldn't you have written this as an easier piece? Couldn't you have written this as a piece of poetry for us? Couldn't you have given us the easy points in three simple steps or something? No, that's not what he's doing. He's holding out something for us. And just by being we're actually doing here, Lizzie, one of the things that you and I have talked about, but which is so central to this practice of turning towards life, which is being in dialogue with one another, but also being in dialogue with an other here. There's a piece of text which comes from another person's life and also has its own life. And here we are changing one another and ourselves and maybe people who are listening as well, by being in conversation with another, which is this little paragraph. And we can do that precisely because of what you're saying. I was so moved because it's such clear language when you said what it's like, and I can feel this too in myself, and it's softening as we're talking, the story that I'm a separate something bumping around in the world is so terrifying and so lonely and so effortful.
Yeah.
And there are parts of me that are really convinced by that story and can get going. They get revved up quite early in the day if I'm not onto it. And now I've got to protect myself and I'm going to make things happen. Instead of, what if I'm not so separate from everyone I meet? And what if when we're together, when you and I gather, something else is here that was always here, but we can feel because it's on the in-between of us. And it's not the in-between of a separate Lizzie and a separate Justin, but it's more like it includes us.
Yeah.
Like if we're willing to let ourselves, it's really unusual, at least if any of us who've grown up in the West, it's a really unusual way of thinking because we've been taught to only think of ourselves from the frame of being separate bodies. Which has its value, but also leaves something really important out. So if I can let myself feel that, then what gifts are here? So for example, I might let myself relax the parts that are whizzing away because they're so frightened of being alone and all of that, so that I can really be affected by you.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm really being affected by you, whether I admit it or not, and whether I want to or not. You know, part of the sort of whizzing to defend myself is precisely because I'm being affected by you. So can I let myself see at least that I'm being affected by you? And then, and here's this beautiful thing about the first part of Milton Scarborough's, you have things, really profound things to teach me that only you can see and feel from the place that your life arises, which is with your own body. And am I willing to let myself be one who is shaped by that? And also, but also, am I willing to take my responsibility to wonder who I could be that would be a gift to you? Because if I'm willing to open to being shaped by you in those ways, I also have to be willing to face that what I do and how I am and what I see and what I share and all of that will shape you. So it's like, but that's the, I think that's the thing about the, about real gifts, is they always come with, to be in a mutual, or I'm gonna, my language is going to fail me here, but to be in this, we're affecting one another all the time with all of its gifts. Oh, holds out this very, very important possibility that really who I'm around really does change who I am. So I've got some choices there. Like, who do I spend my time with?
Yeah.
Who do I want my life to be around? But then it also comes with, and what kind of presence in the world will I be so that others can benefit too? So it turns us towards our care for one another rather than our fearful defensiveness and grasping and all of everything that comes with that.
I just got this kind of image of myself running around saying thank you for making me to everyone. Like, I feel made. I feel like I'm being made when I just reflect on the people and their faces and their actions and their bodies and the things that happen. And just feeling like I'm being made. And I have been made and I'm going to keep being made. Oh, and then when you said it turns us towards our care for one another, I feel like it leads me to redefining what the word care means somehow as well, which is not looking after you or something. I mean, it might include that, but care meaning, just as you're saying, having an awareness of my power in being with you, that the way I'm being really matters for your life. In the making of you, I matter. Like, I can't say, well, you do your thing and I'll do mine, because that in itself is shaping. It's a kind of a weird denial of, or it feels weird, at least in this space that I'm in now. It would be really weird to say that, because it's not, it can't be true that we're separate. This thing includes everything. It includes the ways that I reject you. It includes the ways that I try and separate myself from you. It includes the ways I shame you. It includes the ways I move away from you, that connect with you. And then I get to have some choices then about, okay, so how am I being, and how, what's my intention for us? And how do I want to be that lines up with those intentions? And the other thing, Justin, that makes me feel so hopeful is that I've never met Milton Scarborough, and he's shaping me. And so I feel suddenly like this kind of rush of all the gifts that we can be for one another, well, through doing this, through writing anything, through speaking and letting it be heard by people that don't know us, and for there to be connection there that isn't determined by us, but maybe offered, like maybe all we have to do is be offerings to each other as well, and that they can be taken up just as we're taking up Milton Scarborough's offering into the world. And through an offering we can be shaped. It's like we can be powerful in ways that we wouldn't really associate with power and doing an action and things. Like, of course there's doing an action in writing something down and reflecting and thinking, but Milton Scarborough is not washing my hair and making me a cup of tea and talking to me at the dinner table. He's put something in the world and moved on in his recasting of his body. It's happened in the way that he's not here anymore. And I'm being changed. I'm being affected. I'm being shaped by this language. So I feel really, in a way, it's happening. I'm becoming a new self now that includes, as my previous self did not, a different kind of perceiving, speaking, feeling. And so this kind of new territory emerging now in the very thing that we're being invited into, which is to be shaping of one another, that this, like, we're being shaped by the source. I'm shaping you, you're shaping me, you're shaping probably Milton too. We're shaping him. Like, no one escapes the shapage.
You'll know, of course, and we've talked about this before, that at least part of what brought me into us doing this regular practice was coming across Seth Godin and his work. And Seth is a great advocate for when you have something to bring to the world that could do this, put it in the world.
Yeah.
And he wrote this brilliant thing that's relevant to this, but it's really what you're saying just connects me into this. He wrote this very recently to say, it's a really, really wonderful thing to do to write and to put it in the world every day if you've got something to teach or to do or to speak and put it in the world as a podcast. Not, he says, because it's going to get you to the top of the bestseller list, which is the myth of our culture, right? Somebody, yeah. you'll be on the top and you'll be rich and you'll be famous and you'll be powerful. And no, he says, because first of all, even if nobody reads it, the act of generosity will change you. So the act of extending towards another, even if that other does not engage with what you do, still changes you. So it doesn't take, I can write for you, Lizzie, and you not read what I write, but because I'm writing for you, I'm changed because I know you. And then you might read it and that might change you too. Yeah. And that's where the unfolding of our lives comes from. And the hearing what you said and then thinking about what Seth says and what Milton writes, it's reminding me that we can work really, really hard to not do this. Like, we have it within us to try to resist the forces that Milton Scarborough writes about. I'll just keep myself walled off, impenetrable. And of course, I'm then affecting lots of people by doing that, and they are affecting me, but there are better ways.
Yeah.
Right? There are more, it calls on what I'm sort of being reminded of here whilst we're talking is what happens from our generosity with one another,
mm-hmm.
that we can be active participants in the, what you just said so beautifully about the remaking of one another so that we can see more and feel more and... I don't mean more for the sake of grasping more, but so that we're more sensitive to the world and more available to the world, and our gifts are more here. Our generosity to one another is what makes that possible.
Mm.
And that's also a counter narrative in our culture, which is more about how do you sell it? How do you, you know, and all of those things are important too, but generosity as a basic act towards generosity and receptivity to one another.
Mm.
And what makes what we're talking about here happen.
Yeah, the word that just arose for me, Justin, is reciprocity.
Mm.
You know, what it means to be in the dance with one another, where I bring my gift to you and it shapes and changes you, runs through you and runs back through me again and runs back, like, and that's just one thread. And of course, there's like millions of threads on the move all the time between us. And if that's what's going on all the time, what does the world look like? And what does the world feel like? And this act of doing anything like this, that's an extension of ourselves consciously into knowing we're affecting each other and then doing things that are aligned with that understanding. It really is a very different world that gets made if we're interacting with it consciously versus unconsciously, if you know what I mean. Like this is happening anyway. but our consciousness and our understanding and our feeling into this way that the world is, that the way that humans are, the nature of us, affords us a whole different opportunity to interact with each other and as humans in this realm.
That's a really wonderful place to end, Lizzie, with your naming that all of this is a doorway to reciprocity, where what's inside and what's outside, us keep on. You, for anyone who can't see, because if you're listening on a podcast, you might not be able to see, Lizzie, that you made a sort of figure of eight move. That's what's going on all the time. What a place to end this conversation. So thank you, Lizzie, and thank you, everyone, for being with us again. And please know that you're very welcome to keep on being with us. We're going to keep on coming back. All being well, we will be here next Sunday, and you're so welcome for all of you who are with us watching or listening to tell other people about this. We are now on Instagram and in our Facebook group and on podcasts and on our website. There's lots of places you can find us, and we'll be very happy to be found and also to be affected and shaped by all of you who are journeying alongside us.
Yeah.
So bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.